What's happening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Fitness Dad podcast. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about a conversation that come up with several of my clients this week, and it's all to do with the perimenopause. Okay, so I had two separate occasions with two clients this week where we'd had a discussion about things that were going on with them, happening with them, how they were feeling. One even said to me about menopause and perimenopause. And we kind of delved deeper into that with both of these ladies. Now, the funny thing with it was both of them were experiencing a lot of the same things. Now, one of these clients, I believe, is in her early 40s. One is in her later 40s. Both working women, very successful, very busy, both exercise relatively regularly, into exercise, into eating well, because they've been practicing that for a long time and understand the benefits of it. But certain things recently have started to change for them. And this is how we kind of got onto this conversation, and how both of them were experiencing pretty similar things. Okay, so one of these ladies I'd noticed over the past few weeks, when we'd been chatting and communicating, she didn't seem her normal, upbeat, driven self. Every conversation would be like, "How's your week been?" And she'd be like, "Johnny, it's been da 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 da." And that's been for the past 2, 3, 4 weeks, it's been like that. Previous to that, she'd come in very upbeat, talking about, you know, this and that and what you're up to. She's a very successful, driven woman. But she's just feeling different, feeling kind of a bit more stressed, a bit more overwhelmed, a bit more anxious, more tired, finding certain scenarios more stressful and overwhelming than she would have before. And these are very common symptoms. And it was actually me that said to her, "Have you thought about the fact that maybe you're going through the perimenopause?" And she kind of stopped and was like, "I haven't really thought about that. I was kind of thinking maybe, you know, several weeks ago I'd been ill, maybe I had COVID, maybe I was sort of still getting over that. And possibly it could be. It could also be a combination of the both, where getting ill like that has a bit more of an impact now as she's perimenopausal, because she's already having to contend with lots of different symptoms and changes in her body. And now throw on top of that, getting ill, it maybe affects that even more." And the other client who I had a conversation with later in the week, again, enjoys exercise, very successful career, normally very upbeat. She said to me, "Johnny, like, what's your sort of experience with the menopause and like other clients and stuff?" And I was like, "Why are you asking?" She was like, "Well, recently I've been kind of getting like just feeling different. I've been getting more anxious about certain things. My sleep hasn't been as great." You know, and then I started to ask her some other things that possibly would maybe indicate that maybe she is starting to go through the perimenopause. You know, I said, what would you say like your moods have been like recently?" And she was like, "Well, normally I go for massages and exercise for me as a way of kind of de-stressing." And I was like, "The other day I went for a massage and I came back home and I still felt very anxious." And I said to my husband, "I still feel really anxious." And he was like, "Oh my God, that massage normally works for the, like helping you unwind, etc." I said to her, "You know, what about tiredness? Has your sleep been affected?" She said, "Yes, I have noticed that I've not been sleeping as well. You know, do you find that you need the toilet more?" This is another common symptom, finding that you need the toilet. And she said, "Yes. When I've been going to the toilet recently, not long after, I felt like, oh, maybe I could go again." What other things did we talk about? A difference in the storage of body fat is a big one. So when women start to go through the perimenopause, the distribution of the body fat and where it's stored tends to come more around the midsection. And she was like, "Yes, I've been feeling like I'm starting to store more fat around my stomach. And that's been making me think maybe I need to do more exercise. Maybe I need to, you know, like cut back on my diet more." And I already know that this client does all of the right things. So it's more how is those other symptoms and things affecting her being able to do that stuff well. She does lots of steps. She does exercise consistently. She even said to me, I didn't have a great week last week. I only managed to exercise 3 times. In my opinion, that is very good. I've said to her, like I say to all my clients, something is always better than nothing. And if that's what she would class as a bad week, that's great. And I said to her, for other people, that's a really good week. So it's not being too harsh on yourself. But sometimes what starts to happen when you start to feel that kind of excess body fat starting to store around your midsection, I say excess, not necessarily excess, it's just changing where your body is storing fat. You notice it more because it's in an area which everybody is already pretty conscious about. You know, you notice when weight goes on there. You might not notice as much when a bit of weight goes on your face or on your arms or on your legs or, you know, like around your lower leg or like just random places. But around our stomach is one of those areas where people tend to notice, because now all of a sudden dresses feel different, shirts feel different. When you're sitting down, you can kind of feel it more. Like maybe when you put a seatbelt on, you can feel it. I know that's fun for me. I know when I've gained a little bit of weight and I sit in the car and I put the seatbelt on, the bit that goes around your stomach is like I can normally gauge if I've gained a few pounds or not just by that thing alone. So, you know, when you look in the mirror, and this then starts to make you think, well, maybe I need to do something drastic. With this client, she might think, maybe I need to do more steps. I'm already doing like 12,000 on average. Maybe I need to do 20,000. Maybe I need to get down the gym 5 days a week. Maybe I need to drop my calories even lower. And what happens is that makes everything so much more difficult, because already these symptoms from perimenopause, which you're just starting to get to grips with, maybe you're just starting to notice some of them. Maybe you're just starting to put two and two together, you know, and sleep is a big one. You know, if you're not sleeping very well, then what's going to happen there is if you start implementing all this other stuff to all of a sudden tackle this feel like of this extra belly fat you've gained, it's just going to drive you into the ground more and potentially make things worse, because you're potentially going to get into like a bit of a spiral and a bit of a yo-yo dieting cycle where you go really hard, find it hard to stick to, then you kind of fall into a bit of a overconsumption, and you know, it's just a slippery slope. So brain fog was another one. She said, look, you know, I'm having conversations with people and then all of a sudden something just disappears completely out of my head. That's a common thing. More intense periods. She said she's never really struggled with period pains before, like to the point that she's struggling with them recently. She said they're really intense and they're really painful, to the point where, you know, she feels like she has to have time, like to, you know, take time out of things, maybe not go into the office on those days because it's that intense. Changes in mood, changes in excitement towards certain things. This is another big one. So certain things that, you know, I said to her, like, look, things like, let's say you're going into a meeting at work and let's say you have to do a presentation to a room full of people. Maybe you've done that so many times throughout your career that doesn't really faze you. But maybe now you're starting to get anxious about that when you never did before. And you're like, hold on a minute, what's going on here? This sort of stuff never used to make me nervous before. And this is kind of how sometimes changing you know, how you feel about certain things and how you behave and your moods all start to change. You kind of start to feel like you're transforming into someone that you maybe don't really know because of this anxiety. You start to get more anxious about things. So it was interesting because having this conversation with these two separate women in the same week, yet they were experiencing so many of the same symptoms. So it's important to be aware. Look, if you are a female over 40, chances are you could be starting to go through the menopause. Now, one of these women is in their early 40s and she's experiencing it. The other woman is in her late 40s. So it doesn't necessarily mean as soon as you hit 40, or maybe the changes are so mild at the beginning that you don't really notice. One of those clients I remember, I've been working with her for a while, and she's always had really painful periods. So that could have been a sign before that, when they become more intense, and I remember she had to call up and like she was not going to the gym as much, she was not exercising as much, she would then not go into work on those days when they were really intense. And that could have been an early sign that she didn't necessarily notice. So it's understanding that a lot of these things in isolation, people maybe don't notice them. But if you're starting to experience a combination of these different things, and they're gonna make, if you're trying to lose weight, or if you're trying to maintain a body weight you're happy with, these things combined are gonna make that more difficult. It's not gonna make it impossible, but it's gonna make it more difficult. And that's where with these two ladies, what I'm gonna do moving forward is I'm gonna help them with some tools that are gonna help them manage these symptoms around the goals they want to achieve. We can't change what is happening to their body. It's part of biology. It's gonna happen regardless. But what we can do is go, okay, well, you're not getting much sleep, you're being affected. One of these ladies said, it was quite funny, and the way she looked, she said it. She said it that her recently, she said for years, sorry, I'm sort of blah, 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 blah. For years, she had been going, she could go to bed, hit the pillow, fall asleep, have, you know, 6-8 hours sleep, wake up the next morning feeling fresh. She said recently, she's been going to bed, finding it harder to get to sleep. Then when she does get to sleep, she's waking up in the night. And then obviously when you start waking up in the night, sometimes you start thinking about things. And if you're starting to find yourself getting more stressed and more anxious because of these changes going on as well, then you're more likely to maybe think about things in the night, and then that's affecting her sleep. And she said as well, getting like hot flashes in the night. She said it is literally like someone has just out of nowhere set me on fire. She said that's how it feels, and then all of a sudden it goes away. So we can't necessarily change those things, but what we can do is manage things around that. You know, I know that this client of mine, she runs a company, she works till late in the evenings, she tends to be doing some work before she goes to bed, she tends to look at her phone when she's in bed just before she goes to sleep. So it's implementing things like, okay, we can't change the biological side of things and what's going on, but what can we do with your lifestyle to try and help sort of make those symptoms more manageable? Okay, so trying to shut off from work at least an hour before you go to bed. This is what I said to her. You know, thinking about, you know, I've got these two last emails to send. Okay, can they wait till the morning? Like, do you need to do them at 10 o'clock at night? Can they wait till the morning? You know, there's swings and roundabouts there, because like if that means that then you're going to wake up in the night and you're going to start thinking about mulling over those emails, then maybe you're better off sending those emails. But could you maybe manage your day better where you don't necessarily leave those emails until 10 p.m.? Then there's trying not to look at your phone. Have a rule where maybe you take your mobile phone and you put it in a completely different room when you go to bed, or you stick it in your bedroom drawer. But don't look at it while laying in bed, because it's going to heighten you. Chances are you're going to look at emails or something on there, and then you're going to have more stuff playing on your mind. The other thing is writing a to-do list for the next day. I said to her, you know, maybe if you're finding that you're waking up in the night, write a to-do list for the next day of things you want to get done. So maybe when you wake up, you don't have all this stuff on your mind. Making sure that the bedroom is at the correct temperature. So that you're, again, we can't help the hot flushes, but we can try and make sure that the environment you're sleeping in is at a decent temperature so that you don't get too hot and you don't get too cold. Okay, so trying to find that perfect temperature. Not drinking too much before you go to bed, because maybe you find that because you need to wee more, you're having to get up in the night to also go to the toilet. All of these things that you can try and do to manage the symptoms. You know, looking at, let's pluck another one out of the air, thinking about, you know, like brain fog. Maybe what you might need to start doing is having notes open on your phone more. When something comes into your mind, jot it right down before you forget about it. You know, more intense period pains. Okay, again, there's nothing we can necessarily do about that. Maybe go to your doctor. They might be able to do something to help with that. But maybe we just need to manage that in terms of, right, okay, we know when your period is coming up. So how can you adapt the rest of your life around that? You know, trying to make sure that maybe you can work from home on those days. so that you're not having to tackle commuting or being around other people if your work allows that flexibility. Now, one of these women is a business owner. I'm sure she could do that. The other one works for a company, but I'm sure she could do that as well. Maybe having to tone down your gym sessions during those weeks. Maybe, you know, you still do some exercise because it's still going to make you feel good. But maybe instead of trying to lift really heavy weights, maybe you focus a little bit more on body weight or lower intensity stuff or stretching or yoga. Okay. And then in terms of the bladder issues, working on your pelvic floor, one of those clients now goes to Pilates. So that's going to help. But trying to work on your pelvic floor to try and help your bladder issues. Also making sure that you're not drinking too many liquids. Okay, you know, keeping hydrated, obviously, but trying to make sure that maybe you're not overdoing the liquids. Changes in mood towards things, anxiety, you know, again, maybe doing things like if going back to the work meeting example and having to do a presentation, something that never made you anxious before, maybe do something like write down all of the things that are making you anxious and then write down why they're making you anxious, and then write down what is the worst case scenario. In an example of that presentation, what is the worst thing that could go wrong at that presentation? And it most of the time isn't as bad as you actually think. And just by writing those things down, acknowledging them, it can also help ease that anxiety. So it's not about, you know, you can't biologically change things. So again, I said to both of these women, maybe go to your GP if you feel like you need to go to the GP, have a chat about the options of HRT. Okay, so that could be one thing you could do to help symptoms. That could be an avenue you go down. Now, but with me and my clients, it's like, let's look at all of your symptoms and let's look at what we can implement to help make things a bit easier for you. And it does make weight loss harder. Because all those symptoms, you know, if you're not getting much sleep, you're going to be exhausted the next day. You're going to be more hungry because during the night, all of your hunger hormones regulate. So if you haven't had much sleep, chances are the following day, you're going to be hungry. The other reason you're going to be hungry is because you probably want more energy because you're tired. Because of these things, because you're more tired, you're probably going to find that you kind of have a lot less willpower. You're more likely to just give in to foods and snacks. You're less likely to move in general on that day. You're less likely to want to go to the gym because you're exhausted. If you go to the gym after work, you're probably thinking, didn't sleep very well last night. I just want to go home. Especially in the winter, I might find it harder because it's dark. Da, 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 da. So it's about us trying to find all of the things that we can implement around these symptoms to try and make sure that they can stay on track. You know, shorter workouts. Sometimes with women, they find recovery from exercise. It is harder during the perimenopause. So maybe shorter workouts, more rest days, you know, and doing exercise every other day instead of maybe used to do it 4 days in a row. Thinking about all of these things, about how can you manage your symptoms and align them with the goals that you're trying to achieve. That is what I'm going to help those clients do. And that's what I help other clients do. So if you are a woman that is over 40, struggling to lose weight, finding that your body is changing, finding that things that used to work don't really seem to work anymore and you can't really figure out why. Get in touch, head to the show notes, reach out to me via email, reach out to me via social media, and let's have a chat and see whether I can help you. Anyway, thanks for tuning into this episode, and I'll catch you in another one.